Ms. Sheila to the back. I'm going to have our next story come to the front. Dave, where are you? Dave and Charlie. Kind of a neat thing that I would like to share with you. I guess Dave and I are coming up on our fifth year anniversary of meeting each other. It was on an Easter Sunday 5 years ago that Dave walked into our church. And little did I know and little did Dave know that he would end up accepting Christ, following the Lord in baptism, and he's here all the time. But you need to know his story. He has a story. Every one of you have a story. And his story is different than the ones that you've heard, but they're all important. Because without Jesus, none of the stories would be any good. So I'm going to have Charlie interview him, and that's the way Dave felt most comfortable sharing his story with you.
A little over 4 years ago, influenced by a member of the church, and I went into Sam Anderson's life group one Sunday morning, and sitting at the table was a humble man, very quiet, and I thought, Jesus. And since that time, we've become good friends. And I'm honored that Dave has asked me to sit up here with him and let you tell him his story. Dave, you're not from around here, are you?
No. I'm from Trenton, New Jersey. And that's where I grew up. My parents, I drove them a little crazy. I was really bad, you know. And I had two brothers, one brother and three sisters I grew up with. And I went to Catholic church. I didn't care. I didn't want to be there. I just wanted to go out and play. So once I made my confirmation, I didn't have to go no more. But I went on Easter and Christmas Day. I always went to church. And school, I didn't like school. I got thrown out of school in eighth grade. I went to another school for troubled kids. I got thrown out of that school. Then I went to another school, and I just bought my time till I turned 16 so I could quit. And, well, drugs was part of it. I was a drug addict. And as soon as my son was born, I realized I wanted to live. I wanted to grow up, be part of his life, so I quit. It's been over 20 years now. It's been clean. So,
Well, how did you get from Trenton, New Jersey, down to Montgomery County?
Well, my nephew bought a house, and he asked me to move down here. I guess to babysit his house, because he went away to Florida all the time or traveled. So I decided on a Sunday that I was going to. I went to work on a Monday and just quit and moved up here. I had nothing, no job, no nothing. I just decided to get away from my old habits and get away from the people I didn't want to hang with no more. And I figured I'd start a new life in Norman, Arkansas.
Norman, Arkansas is a little different from Trenton, New Jersey, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What did you do after you got here with no job?
Well, Bob came by one day and introduced himself to me. And
you talking about Bob McCord,
Bob
the guy
McCord
that leads worship?
Yeah.
The guy that works on Wednesday and cooks and orders food?
Yep.
The Bob that's got the elderberry farm?
Yes.
You hang around him, you'll be busy.
And he said he had a farm, and I said, well, I was looking for work, and he offered me and my nephew a job to pull weeds, and my nephew didn't like it. My nephew told Bob that I wanted to stay on, and Bob kept me on. I'm still working for Bob.
Oh, so that's good. Well, how did you get up here at this?
Bob actually invited me to church on a Sunday, Easter Sunday actually it was, and I came. You know, I was quiet.
Yeah.
I stopped a little bit, and I came. And then I started coming every Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, getting to, you know, and I met you.
Well, sorry about that. Well, tell us, when did you accept Christ? When did things really change?
Well, Charlie had an alpha class. We were at his house on a Saturday. And everybody in the class went to separate ways and prayed. And I prayed the Lord to send somebody to teach me more about the Lord. And I felt this tap on my shoulder. And my heart, I don't know how to explain it, but I felt something. It might have been the Holy Spirit. I was scared. Yeah. You know, and Charlie prayed for me. Yeah. That's when I knew. Yeah. You know,
Well, what had you were in New Jersey? You went to the Catholic Church, you had your affirmation, and you'd been here to this church. What has changed since that October 19th, 2019?
I learned how to forgive, and I never read a book in my life. I read the Bible. It was the first book I ever read in my whole entire life, and it was amazing what I learned. I learned a lot on Men's Fellowship because I listened to everybody's opinion about what they think of the scripture they read. On Bible study, I learned a lot. That helps me get, I might not say much, but I do listen. And then Pastor Bill, he sends his messages every morning, and I try to go by that for that day.
Yeah, that's great. So I guess what we have seen is the evidence of a changed life, that Christ is in your life. And David's been a real influence on my life, and I have really been appreciative of just your friendship. And I want to thank you for sharing your story about Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
You know, you just never know when someone walks in how they're going to leave. And I just remember seeing him show up on that Easter morning, and I thought, well, that's probably the last time I'll see him. He made Bob happy, so, you know. But he's here every week, and I love him like a brother. And you know, your past does not matter when you have Jesus. And I am just grateful to God that for Dave and his ministry here. He works on Wednesday nights. He does anything we need him to do. Plays a little pickleball, and I'm just blessed to call him my brother in Christ. And so, Dave, I appreciate you sharing that testimony with us. We try to do Easter a little differently. We try to have the cross. If you'll look in the windows, this is Sheila's preschool class, those crosses that they have done. And really and truly, Easter is a lot about symbols. And being a pastor, it's always hard because the two hardest sermons for me every year are the Christmas sermon and the Easter sermon. And I want you to think about that. It's the same story every year. And so everybody knows that story. And everybody knows the story of Easter. And we know the story of Jesus dying on the cross. And every year God does give me a message, but I decided this year to do something a little different. I wanted to talk about one of the symbols of Easter, which is the lamb. And I wanted to have a lamb here this morning because I wanted you to see the lamb. They are adorable. They are cute. Yesterday when I went out to the farm, I was able to hold it, and Julie thought I was having a stroke, and my son thought I was having a stroke at the beginning of the service because I was all mixed up. And the reason is I had my heart set on that lamb being here. And Max was an afterthought because this lamb is so adorable. It is innocent looking. I mean, look at that thing up there, just innocent looking and sweet and he told me it probably wouldn't bite me. And I was so excited because I want you to think this Easter about the Lamb. And this is a different kind of message than I normally do because I got all excited studying for it. And I have lots of scripture to prove how important the Lamb is in your personal life. You see, a lot of people have religion, but they don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That Lamb that I'm going to talk about this morning is how to have a relationship with God. And that relationship with God ought to change the way you live. Now, Easter is not going to mean much to you. My message is not going to mean much to you this morning if you don't believe in God. Because if you don't believe in God, there's a pretty good chance you don't believe in sin. And one of the frustrations that I have as a pastor is I can do my best job to explain to you the existence of God, and I can do my best job to try to explain to you the reality of sin. And without the Holy Spirit touching your heart, without the Holy Spirit revealing to you what I'm talking about this morning, it's just a story. It's a story about a lamb. It's a story about a man that died and came back to life. And you will remember the story, but it will make absolutely no difference in your life. And so this morning, I'm wanting to show you that the Lamb was not an afterthought to God, that actually in the Old Testament, in the very first book of the Bible, you see the Lamb being used as a sacrifice. And when you see that little lamb, the thing that I want you to understand, that little lamb really could be called the name Jesus. And that little lamb died so you could have eternal life. And so we're going to look at this morning, and there's a lot of scripture, and I want you to see it. And I got so excited, I got carried away, and I have way too many scriptures probably. But I'm going to give you my best because I want you to understand what Easter is all about. It's not about religion. It's not about Baptists. It's about Jesus. Jesus the Lamb. So let's look beginning in Genesis. The first thing I want you to see is the Lamb is in the New Testament and Old. You see, one of the things we forget is the Bible was written over 1,500 years by 40-something different authors. And when they were writing their stories, they weren't thinking about putting them in a book called the Bible. They really weren't. The New Testament was written by men who had seen a man who lived, die, and come back to life. And they wanted people to know that this man's name was Jesus. And then they put the Old Testament in there because they started discovering that the Jewish people had missed that the Messiah was a man named Jesus. And all through the Old Testament, you have Jesus being talked about even though he had not come. And so in the Old Testament, you see this beautiful picture of the Lamb of God, as John the Baptist will later on call him. And if you look at Genesis 22, verses 6 through 13, you're going to find the story, the first story, not the only story, but a story about the importance of the lamb being a sacrifice to save someone. And so in Genesis 22, you have the story of Abraham. Remember the story? Abraham was an old man. God had promised him that he would be the father of a great nation. And the only problem was they couldn't have children. It's kind of hard to be a father of a great nation if you can't have a child. Okay? But eventually, Sarah, his wife, got pregnant and she had a boy named Isaac. And so they were ecstatic because now they could someday have a nation. You got to have a family to be able to do that. And so God had this test. And remember, God doesn't test us for evil. He wants to see if we are understanding His plan for our life. And He had a test. So Abraham was told by God, hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go take your son Isaac, and I want you to sacrifice him. Well, that had to be kind of discerning to Abraham, because they did not practice human sacrifices. And so we pick up in verse 6 the story of where Abraham is taking Isaac, his future, to kill him. So look what it says. So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on, I love this. Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. We have the fire and the wood, the boy said, but where is the sheep? Most translations have the word lamb, because it is lamb there, but they translated sheep just to be genetic and all that. But he says, where is the sheep for the burnt offering? Because they knew one of the offerings you would offer is for your sin, and you would take a sheep and you would kill it for your sins. So Isaac's a little suspicious, and he asked that very honest question. And then it says, he says, God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son. Now you see in Abraham faith. He doesn't see this sheep, but he tells his son, God will provide. And so we look, and it says, when they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac, and I bet Isaac was having second thoughts at this time, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. And then look what it says in verse 11. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, for I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. And then look at this. Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram, and I had to look this up, but you know what a ram is? It's a male lamb over the age of one. He saw a ram that was caught in the thicket, so he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in the place of his son. The thing I want you to understand, beginning in the Old Testament, there always had to be a price paid for sin. And the price was that lamb until there was not a lamb. And then Abraham was not going to put anything before God and was going to obey God. So he didn't know what else to do. He just was trusting God. And God provided that ram to take the place of his son. And all through the Old Testament, you see this picture of a sacrifice. As a matter of fact, look at the next passage in Exodus. In Exodus chapter 12, you have the story of the Passover. One of those things that you've watched on TV with, what's his name? Who?
Charlton Heston.
How many of you have seen that on TV? Everybody's seen it, you know. And Charlton Heston and the people of Israel leaving. And remember, the reason they were able to leave is because all these plagues were sent, and Pharaoh would say yes, and then he would change his mind. But finally, there was this last thing, which what they were supposed to do is they were supposed to take a lamb, and they were supposed to sacrifice it and put the blood over the doorpost. And when the death angel came, it would not attack that family that had the blood. They were covered by the blood. Look at the story in Exodus 12, verses 3 through 7. He says, "Announce to the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice, one family for each household. If the family is too small to eat a whole animal, let them share with another family in the neighborhood. Divide the animal according to the size of each family, and how much they can eat. The animal you select must be a one-year-old male, either sheep or a goat, with no defects. Take special care of this chosen animal until the evening of the 14th day of this first month. Then the whole assembly of the community of Israel must slaughter their lamb or young goat at twilight. They are to take some of the blood and smear it on the sides and the top of the door frames of the houses where they eat the animal." And then if you jump down to verse 13, it says, "But the blood on your doorpost, the blood on your doorpost will serve as a sign marking the house where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The plague of death will not..."